Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Earth Day weekend. Hope. What does hope mean to you? It's a word often on our lips and perhaps less often in our hearts and in our hands. That word has been turned into myriad acronyms that seek transformation. Helping other people everywhere. Heal our planet Earth. Healing our past experiences. Heart open, please enter. Hang on, peace exists. Even hackers on planet Earth. Hackers on planet Earth is an annual conference devoted to computing and technology, including issues of privacy, ethics, an open internet, and open societies. The hackers referred to are engaged in playful and clever modifications and sharing creative ideas. They are not internet criminals. That word hacking, or to hack, comes from roots that mean short, small cuts, and also means routine or commonplace work. Like a hack writer. The hope hackers make small adjustments in rather ordinary ways that nevertheless result in creative leaps. The mundane can indeed show us transcendent possibility. The code of conduct for hope meetings, annual meetings of hackers on planet Earth, would constructively challenge most groups that we know. To quote, it expects participants to step beyond prejudices, societal norms, and other perspectives that lead to disrespect for people and groups. Everyone is welcome at hope events, regardless of race, class, gender identity, or expression, age, ethnicity, religion, political beliefs, disability, sexual orientation, personal appearance or education level, text editor preference, and other aspects of who we are. In short, hope is a space for tolerance and respect. Sounds to me a little like the kingdom of God. Isn't hope what resurrection is most clearly about? That God might bring something new and lively out of what seemed dead and gone, or even merely listless and failing? Holy Week and Eastertide offer a microcosm of the worst and the best we might ever experience or expect to hope for, and then some. That microcosm is an icon of the whole of creation, what some might call its fractal nature. Divine activity, God's love of what is and what might yet be, is always at work, bringing surprising newness out of yesterday's decay. Jesus' incarnation, his earthly ministry, his resurrection, and his abiding presence among us are God's continuing yes to the world's no. Hope is born out of experiencing that reality and continuing to expect it. Hope is the willingness to hack the mundane, the world's seeming ordinariness in search of new life. Hope grows through creative and even playful urges by practicing flights of what if and prophetic so what's. So if the world is filled with hungry, hurting people, what would happen if we shared a meal with folks in our neighborhood once a week? Jesus did it with 5,000 others. His followers hacked the program and started doing it every week and have continued to reshape it for millennia. We're even beginning to move from the soup kitchen hack to cafes and restaurants that welcome everyone without payment, which is itself an ancient hack, even older than the book of Proverbs. There is yet more abundant life to be discovered in sitting down with neighboring strangers to eat and learn and hope for friendship. Every move toward more humane behavior and greater holiness begins with hacking what is, in deep and abundant hope. The end of slavery in the British Empire and the end of the triangle trade on this coast came out of the hopeful work of William Wilberforce and John Newton and his Clapham sect. Even though it took the better part of a century and a naval blockade before the Sultan of Zanzibar finally outlawed the last of it in 1897. In this nation, we're still struggling to acknowledge our brokenness and to begin to find healing and creative responses. We continue a global struggle to end all sorts of bondage and slavery, especially human trafficking and substance abuse, and human captivity to the active prejudice of individuals and societies, and the profound poverty of body and spirit that result. The new and transformed life of resurrection emerges in communities that know the grimmest possible realities firsthand, yet have the hope to stay engaged in the struggle. Hope abides in hopeless places, whether the foot of the cross and the tomb, or the Underground Railroad's audacious yes to freedom. You've got to be down before you know which way is up. Have you seen or read Hidden Figures yet? I won't offer too many spoilers, but the lives of those three women are theme and variation on the art of the hack, to the system of Jim Crow segregation, as well as the more familiar kind of computer-related artistry. The systems engineers of segregation, police officer, judge, workplace managers, became eager subverters of its decayed and misdirected energies when everybody began to share the same goal. Unless hope involves the whole community, it will likely revert either to greed or despair. Ultimately, me first doesn't cut it in the resurrection business. Questioning the status quo is vital, and that's part of Thomas's gift. We often see him as just a doubter, a weakling without enough faith to see a new reality. But Thomas is ready to ask for what he needs. He wants something to heal his despair. And it starts with the community around him, who tell him about Jesus' surprising visit. It gives him hope to cry out for the whole package. I want to see for myself. I want to touch him. We've met Thomas, at times in ourselves, and often in the lament and yearning in the world around us. And we have met the resurrected one, answering that despair and longing. Like Jesus' visit to Thomas, resurrection experiences come in the midst of community where hope is active, especially in the presence of doubt and despair. The deepest confirmation of that hope comes in the face of impossible despair. Years ago, Rabbi Friedman said that if you wanted to see healing in families, you had to take note when the resistance was the strongest. Resistance and doubt are the death throes, and dying is a necessary part of finding new life. The hope that keeps us engaged is really about loving the future, with confidence that God is always up to something creative and wholly unexpected. Look at the world around us. We're more conflicted and divided than we have been in at least a generation. In this country, in Europe, in the Middle East, the Korean Peninsula. Like the disciples, we're increasingly locking the doors and hiding because we're afraid. That's never been the way to peace and harmony. Yet at the same time, good news is to be found in the middle of all that anxiety, if we can begin to name it. What are you afraid of? What is your neighbor afraid of? When we begin to name what needs to die and be healed, we're beginning to see possibilities. And the hack, or the germ of one, is beginning to emerge. It will take a whole community to bring it to light, for the love and creativity necessary never reside in one individual. What's your hope? Heal our planet Earth? Hang on, peace exists? Reach out and gather your homies. And Jesus's homies include all the ones we're afraid of. Name your hopes and fears and start hacking the current program. For the program we're in search of is about abundant, resurrected life for all. Dream and hope. Dream and pray that hope. In community, day in and day out, and we will indeed begin to see it emerge. So hack on, my friends. Hack on.